The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
We're talking to a number of candidates on the programme, particularly first-time candidates, to get their experience. And we're joined by two of those now. One, Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, who is founder and chair of the Irish Muslim Council, independent MET candidate for Dublin. Umar, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
And in studio with me, I have John Mullins, who is Fine Gael MEP candidate from Cork and formerly chair of the board of Cork and formerly CEO of Bord Gáis. Now, John, let me start with you. Good corporate jobs all the way along. Nice sources of income, undoubtedly employable in other things than politics. Why?
Well, I suppose I was at a stage in, in Amarenco where I'd founded the company for 11 years. We'd grown into a situation where we're in 14 countries. The best thing for a founder of a company to do is to find out for themselves exactly the right time to move on. So that decision was taken last November with the company. And I was, when Leo was still Taoiseach, he asked me to chair a strategy committee for Fine Gael. I had been president of Young Fine Gael back in the 90s and was involved with Fine Gael all the way through, bar the period while I was in public service. And I decided, Deirdre Clune was going out of Brussels. She was retiring. And I had a conversation with a number of people internally. And I said, look, Cork needs two MEPs. And
but you've seen politics up close. You've seen the grinding, relentless, unending nature of it. You've seen how different it is from the corporate world, where at least if you are a chief executive, you have the capacity to give a command and somebody will do it, which is not always the way in politics. None of that stayed your hand.
No, and I think another thing is actually, not alone did I have advantage of dealing with politics in Ireland, by the way, but I had advantage of dealing with it in other European countries because, the company had established bases right across Spain, Portugal, Austria, and our biggest base would have been in France. So I was dealing with politics at a multiple country level in the European Union. And certainly there are differences in interpretations of EU law right across each of those political countries. And I found that was going to be an intriguing aspect of my candidacy is the fact, look, I have plenty of international experience as well as domestic experience. And I felt I could market that to people. I had a history of delivery and I thought I could do that in the context of parliamentary, politics. That's why I chose Europe.
Let me ask the same question then of Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri. What made you look at what can be an extremely challenging, an extremely 24/7 job, one that puts you in the face of in often an awful lot of criticism and abuse? What about it appealed to you?
Well, I've been here in Ireland for 21 years. I have been embraced with the warm Cadmi le Fáilte, but I've also seen the last 2 years our society changing. While we have common challenges such as housing crisis, healthcare crisis, I have noticed, like many other decent people, the divisive rhetoric that is becoming too prevalent, the scapegoating of migrants, while migrants contribute to a large extent to our economy, yet they are being scapegoated. And I think it was about time, especially the Dublin riots were a watershed moment for me because this was something I would never have imagined. And as a Muslim, I have obviously faced Islamophobia. I've already been targeted, for a long time by people that are radicalized or extreme in their views. And I have always promoted bridge building, peace building. And this is why, for example, when I organized the Eid in Croke Park, it wasn't just about a celebration of the Muslim community. It was a celebration about the Irish identity. I ensured that the archbishops were invited, the Jewish faith leaders were invited, our government ministers were invited, opposition leaders were invited. So I brought LGBT members together, travelers together, and this is something I'm very passionate about. So I thought, while I have actually worked for the past 7 to 8 years in bridging communities, and even as the chairperson of the Irish Muslim Peace and Integration Council, represented Ireland in a number of EU institutions, I'm an advisor to a number of projects headed by the EU that target especially racism, etc. So
on
I
that
thought,
note,
I should be on the table. I should be on the table where the decisions are made so I could make a difference to the people of Dublin.
Going back to that issue of what you describe as the kind of the hardening of the rhetoric that you've seen over the last 2 years, I've been listening to sort of vox pops and reports, our own Josh Crosby out on the campaign trail last week, for instance. And one of the things that politicians are saying is that people are being very courteous on the doors and they're not getting much in the way of aggression and vitriol. What are you experiencing?
To be very fair, of my experience of, obviously, I'm not doing the canvassing door to door because of the large constituency. I do visit shopping centres, public places, and my experience has been very positive. Of course, you have among the 100 people, let's say, that I meet, you have three or four that are, you know, that are not very pleasant, but the remaining actually are very pleasant, very welcoming. But at the same time, we cannot ignore that we do have online in particularly this divisive rhetoric and a lot of people that do not watch, do not listen to News Talk, do not watch the television, they get their information from social media. And on social media, there is so much divisive rhetoric that is prevalent, and it is impacting our youth, it is impacting the young people that actually went out on the during the night Dublin riots took place. And it's those people that are actually now protesting and you know, in front of refugee centres, asylum centres, thinking that these are the people that are the behind the failures of the of our society. And in all fairness to our other guest that is here, the reality is that it's Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's the government that has been there for the past 20 years that has been the failure, that under whose government the housing has gone from bad to worse to a disaster. And people should be held holding the government accountable. They should be redirecting their anger on the day of polling towards the government by making sure they are choosing change rather than scapegoating migrants and immigrants. Okay. And this is why I am standing.
John, let me go to you on that, because one of the things that is evident in the Ireland Thinks poll is the shift to independence. Mm-hmm. And to go back to Phil Hogan's line about Fine Gael borrowed that vote for a while, Sinn Féin has borrowed it for a while, it now seems to be heading in the independent direction. How much anger and ire are you getting about being of a government party when you knock on the doors?
Well, I'm not getting that much of an ire, I would say. What I would say is that, you know, it's quite easy to vote for people who are against government. I really reflect on the growth in independence, and I think it's a function of, you know, the rhetoric that is out there. You know, as Sheikh Al-Qadri said, you know, there is certainly an attitude that's come from the desktop or the laptop onto physical presence. I mean, you know, I've had a number of experiences. I was in a County Cork store where a guy chased me down five aisles, basically, you know, talking about transgender issues, hate crime, you know, bill, and also clearly migration. Ireland was full. And to that point, you know, I certainly...
And sorry, John, do you think that has been created and fermented online and doesn't reflect the reality?
I think it's been fermented online, but I also think actually that maybe some of the politeness that's happening out there is that people may certainly take a view on migration, but are not willing to speak about it. Okay, and as a result, by the way, I think it's regrettable, in my view, that the European election in particular has concentrated on the domestic issue of migration rather than what Europe needs to do from a migration point of view. And just to say, I don't accept Dr. Al-Qadri's perspective that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are to blame for a lot of these issues. I mean, I'll take you back 11 years. We had ghost estates all over the country, by the way. We're coming out of a serious recession. We've had a meteoric economic growth rate, which in itself has created net immigration. I'm absolutely all for more migrant workers.
And which the government has been lagging behind by some way.
And it's up to the market. You know, people believe that the government should be fully responsible for housing. They should not be, by the way. You need the private market to respond. The majority of houses that are being built at this point in time are being built by builder developers. They're privately financed, and we need more of it. And
But hang on for a minute, John. That's to suggest that the market operates without the guiding hand of government. Things like zoning, de-zoning, planning processes.
And there's a bill, as you well know, Anton, going through the Houses of the Oireachtas to try and ease all of that. And we have seen, by the way, certain politicians from certain parties stating one thing and objecting to permissions, on the other hand, where we're looking for social and affordable homes. So for me, I really do think that, you know, it's very easy for independents to get on a single issue, which they have, by the way. And, you know, there are so many other issues that we need to reflect on. And the critical question when it comes to Europe is, and again, there were a number of candidates I was on a debate with, they couldn't tell us what group in Europe they were going to be members of.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me go back to just to remake Umar's point, because one of the things that he was very clearly talking about, two of the things were immigration and housing, which are the most central issues, according to that poll today, rather than being single or anomalous issues. Can I go back to you, Umar, on one thing? First time candidate standing for election, what has surprised you in the campaign?
What has surprised me is the number of people that are more receptive to what I have to say once they know I'm independent. You know, people ask me, are you with the party? And I tell them, no, I'm independent. And this is when I realize they suddenly become receptive. They want to know, what do I stand for? How can I make a difference to them? And I explain it to them. And I hope those people, and I think there are a lot of people, to be in all fairness, are genuinely upset with how the housing crisis, not just this, but the healthcare crisis, has really gone from bad to worse and then a disaster. We have seen even the migration policy is broken.
Has it been more tiring than you thought it would be? Have you got a different reaction than you would have expected? Has it been more all-consuming than you thought? Is there any process? Because if you've never done it before, I would have thought it's an intriguing experience.
You know. To be very honest, I loved it. I loved every part of it, because the interaction with people at the grassroots level and listening to them, listening to their concerns, what their genuine concerns are, that's the most important thing. And I think listening to people is something that we have done very less. Even myself as a chairperson, obviously, I've been attending conferences and giving consultations around the world. But I really think it's so important to listen to people on the grassroots level, listen what they have to say, what really makes a difference to their lives. And sometimes it's things that people that are in leadership don't realize. And I've just, had a wonderful experience, and I hope to continue doing so. I hope to represent Dublin. I hope to make a difference in Europe. You know, we at the moment, I mean, I was listening to John, with all due respect, I believe that housing is a fundamental right in a just society. And if our governments, if our historic parties have an attitude of housing, that housing is an issue of the private market, it's not an issue that the government should be involved with, I disagree with that. And I will, as an MEP, if people elect me, I will fight for the right that Europe needs to expand its competency and include housing in it. I will fight for the EIB, okay, the European Investment Bank, to invest more in social and affordable housing.
Okay, thank you, Umar. John, same question to you in respect of the things that you found surprising about your first venture into politics.
Well, for me, it's highly enriching. It's been engaging. It's been energising. What I would say, actually, has been surprised that in all of Ireland South, and there may be an issue, you know, between Dublin and Ireland South, law and order has not come up as an issue in over 10 weeks. I would have expected more on issues like neutrality, support for Ukraine, support for Gaza and Palestinians, climate change.
You didn't get much on Israel-Palestine?
I would have expected more. And in the context of Ukraine, by the way, I think the argumentation around migration, certainly, I think there's been a receding of support, regrettably, for the people of Ukraine, who clearly are on the opposite side of a despot. But I mean, the issues that have come up, by the way, which are most relevant, are around issues like farming and fisheries. Housing clearly has come up. Another issue, by the way, which clearly I'd like to highlight, is a lot of people have talked to me about disability services and respite care. They're critical. But just to Dr. Al-Kadri's point, the private sector is developing and financing most of the housing in this country, and that will continue to be the way. We are heading towards 50,000 per year, and I believe once supply gets ahead of demand, we will see affordability coming into the market. And that's a critical point, and we need to continue that progress. And certainly, I'd echo his call, we do need more European finance to support that. But we also need, by the way, our domestic banks to start financing housing construction, which they're not doing.
If you don't make it this time, will you stay in politics?
Well, I've been, as I said, in politics over 30 years.
Yes, but not actively seeking employment in the system.
I'll still be a trustee of the Fine Gael party, I hope. And if I don't get that, if I don't win a seat next weekend, then quite clearly I'll, discuss it with my family and my friends, and we'll decide what goes on from there.
Let me put the same question to you, Umar. In the unlikely event that, I'm assuming both of you, of course, will win the seats, but in the unlikely event that you don't, will you stay in politics?
I have made a decision. It took me months to make this decision. Do I want to to continue doing this? Do I want to join politics to make a difference? And yes, I joined politics to make a difference, and I hope to continue doing so and actually make the difference.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for your time this morning. That is Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, who is founder and chair of the Irish Muslim Council and independent MEP candidate for Dublin, and John Mullins, Fine Gael MEP candidate from Cork.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.